Well, hello there. This is Jay Arrett, and as promised, I'm sending you the first few episodes of my brand new show, The Marketing Plan Podcast. Today, you'll get the first episode, It's Time for a Transformation Plan. And if you like the new show, please go over to marketingplanpodcast.com. That's marketingplanpodcast.com, and you can subscribe to the show in your feed reader or in iTunes. Now, I'm no longer producing Power to the Small Business, but you can find the show archives, all 100 episodes, at powertothesmallbusiness.com. This feed here that you're listening to right now will shut down on June 5th, 2014. Until that time, enjoy every episode from the past and these bonus episodes of the Marketing Plan Podcast. The show is focused on taking your business and transforming it into the brand you've always dreamed it could be. So now I present to you Chapter 1 of my brand new show.
It's time to transform your business into the brand you've always dreamed it could be. This is the Marketing Plan Podcast. On a straight line between points A and B? No way. Let's jump the tracks and get to point C with Jay Arrett, the Dean of Marketing Know-How.
George Bernard Shaw once wrote, "People are always blaming their circumstances for what they are. They don't believe in circumstances. The people who get on in the world are the people who get up and look for the circumstances they want. And if they can't find them, they make them." George Bernard Shaw. And that's what this program is all about, changing your circumstances by creating them. Hi, I'm Jay Arrett, Dean of Marketing Know-How at The Marketing Spot, a company I founded in 2001. You hear people all the time say the world has changed so much in the digital age, and that's true. I think we can agree on that, technology-wise at least. But there's one thing that hasn't changed. Now, I spent 18 years in advertising on a local level before I formed this company. Combined with my experience as a business consultant, I'd venture to say that I've met with well over 1,000 entrepreneurs one-on-one over that time to discuss their business and what they want to accomplish. And you know what hasn't changed? The struggle. If there's been one constant over that time, it's that entrepreneurs have two businesses: the business they currently own and operate, and the business they've always dreamed they could be. Do you understand the feeling? I do. The business you own and operate is the one where you're looking for that thing to take you to the so-called next level. You know you could be that business of your dreams if just for one thing. That's the business where you are searching for the answers. The business you've always dreamed you could be is the one where you're carrying out the solutions because you've found the answers. Those are the businesses that you read about online and in magazines. And if you're not reading about yourself, well, then you're probably in the former category. What's the difference between those two businesses? I really don't think the difference is that great. In fact, I think it's just two simple things that stand in the way. And the first is the willingness to try a different way. I didn't say different things. People try different things all the time. Things don't mean squat. And here's something else. Tools and tactics are your biggest obstacle to success. I know, right? Those tools and tactics that are supposed to be the answer, they are the exact opposite. And that's why so many businesses are stuck being the business that's always reaching and searching, stuck in the current reality on a straight line between points A and B. You have to be willing to approach your business future from a different direction, using a different way. And if you're willing to do that, that brings us to the second roadblock to achieving a dream business, or reaching point C, as I like to call it. That obstacle is the absence of a plan to get there. And that's what this program is all about, using a different way, a different recipe to create a path between the business you currently own and operate and the business you've always dreamed, and not just dreamed, but known in your very soul, felt it to your core, the business you should be. That's a big promise from a brand new show, right? Well, I'm going to ask you to stick with me and give it a chance. Decide that you're tired of chasing tools and tactics, of listening to social media pundits promise you unbridled success if you just do their five things to social media success. Keep your mind open to approaching things differently. And if you can do that, I'll provide you with the guidance and the resources you need to overcome those roadblocks. What I hope you'll find is that I've developed a simplified system to building a marketing plan that can work for any small to medium-sized business, one that you will understand and one that you can and really need to build yourself. So let's get started. The first thing you can do is get a primer. Head to the website marketingplanpodcast.com and click on Getting Started. That's the website where you will find all the resources from this show, marketingplanpodcast.com. And under the Getting Started tab, I have a free video there for you to explain how we will approach marketing. And I think you'll get a sense of how simple this can be. Now, I said simple, not easy. Because while the system may be easy, the work is going to be, well, work. In each chapter of this podcast, I will focus on a different aspect of the marketing plan. As part of that, I'll have some very smart people on the show to share their brain with us, and I have one of those guests today. He's Tim Berry, the founder of Palo Alto Software. That's the business that really pioneered business plan building software. They're the people behind Business Plan Pro. And today, Tim has also created some other online tools to help you plan your business. Now, after I chat with Tim, join me on the other side of the conversation. I'll have this week's free resource for you and the next step you can take toward getting a marketing plan. So now let's meet the man who pioneered business planning software and see what he has to say about creating a business plan and the role of marketing in that plan. And now we're joined by the founder and chairman of Palo Alto Software. He is co-founder of Borland International, founder of bplans.com, author of books and software, teacher of entrepreneurship, a blogger, Stanford MBA, angel investor. His website is timberry.com. His main blog is, well, I'll link to that in the show notes. And lately, he's involved in startups including havepresence.com and freethenumbers.com, plus other stuff. Tim, welcome. You keep busy, don't you?
Oh, thank you, Jay. Yeah, you know, I got to say that I'm at a point where Palo Alto Software is run by an excellent management team, and I get to do what I like, and I'm loving that. And it's still startups and social media and entrepreneurship, because that's what I've liked. I've been blessed for years in doing things that interest me, and golf and fishing, not so much. Startups and spreadsheets and such, particularly social media, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And you live in Oregon where there's lots of fishing, I imagine, right?
Yeah, golf and fishing is plentiful around here too, but we moved here on purpose from the Silicon Valley, and it's also, here being Eugene, Oregon, where the University of Oregon is, it's a great place to start, run, and grow a business too.
So you teach at Oregon also. Do you not teach a class out there?
I taught for years, Jay, from late 90s into 2009. I had a class in entrepreneurship that I did 10 weeks a year, and the angel investment activities actually grew during the same time to the point where I had to give up the teaching or else go crazy, and I didn't want to go crazy.
So business planning is where you made your mark with Palo Alto Software. Now you have bplans.com. You've got the live plan thing going. A lot to do with business plans. What got you interested in business plans, and why is that so important to you?
To me, I got into business after 10 years in journalism. I was a foreign correspondent in Mexico City for UPI first and then Business Week and some other magazines for a 10-year period. And as a journalist, I took some economics in night school because I wanted to know what the hell I was writing about, particularly when I moved from general journalism to business journalism. And I discovered that there's this relationship between words or concepts on one hand and numbers on the other. And if you combine both, it's easier to find truth. It's harder for people to lie to you. And that combination of concepts and numbers fascinated me. And when I did quit that and return to the U.S. to go to business school, I found that the business plan was a, for me, delightful combination of dreaming and then making dreams real, because you step by step execute dreams. And also thinking conceptually, but adding numbers as background. That fascinated me.
Well, let's define it a little bit so we can grasp our concept, because a lot of the listeners out there, they have this idea of what a business plan is. But what is a business plan to you?
What's going to happen is what's a business plan to me. Knowing as you set forth what's going to happen, that you're going to be wrong about it, but the activity of trying to break uncertainty down into pieces and identify drivers and connect dots and realize interdependencies between different activities helps you manage better. So for me, a business plan is not necessarily a document at all, although there are business plan documents that become important at certain stages and certain moments in business. To me, the business plan isn't the document. It's laying out what's going to happen in order to regularly review and revise so it becomes a tool for steering a business.
And that's kind of the idea behind your live plan, isn't it? That it morphs with you as you grow and as you move forward.
Very much so. Live plan is business planning as a start, but it's business management. It has specifically, for example, features so that you connect your accounting and you can instantly see plan versus actual and actual versus last year's actual, because the underlying assumption is you're doing it to manage better. So you lay out assumptions and then watch results, and you're constantly correcting. Hence, I mean, steering for me, even on the boring, straight, flat superhighway, still steering is constant motion. And so too management. You can't just sit still and say, well, we planned the year, so now we just execute. Plans are always changing. And that's good. That's management.
Everybody can sort of make a plan, and I guess a lot of people really do in their mind. Very few entrepreneurs probably don't have what they think is a plan. But a business plan, what is it about a good business plan that makes it good or makes it effective?
For me, it's the plan is worth the business decisions it causes. So to look and evaluate a business plan, you're not looking at beauty or truth as much as you're looking at trackability and management. So when I say break down uncertainty, I mean, don't just guess about sales off the back of your hand. Break it down into traffic, conversions lead to sales, for example, or units times price, or percent of capacity or ability to serve. You break that down into the drivers, and then as reality rears its head, you can check what did I think was going to happen against what actually happened, and that leads to better decisions, which leads to better management.
So in your experience, Tim, what percentages of businesses do you really think have an actual business plan?
If you define a business plan the way we used to in the 70s and 80s as a big, fat, formal document, that percent is fairly low. If you define a business plan the way we should in 2014, that percent is well over 50%, because you don't survive long term without having a pretty good understanding of strategy, key milestones, key metrics, and how you're going to move forward into the future. And for me, if you're laying out strategy and key milestones and key metrics and tracking cash flow, then that's business planning, whether you have the formal document or it's a collection of tools like the spreadsheet and the slide deck or whatever. If you're going to that effort of managing with planning what's going to happen, then you have a business plan. I mean, when I do workshops, I start out telling people, look, if you run a sales forecast that breaks your drivers down into assumptions, and then you check plan versus actual every month, you've got a business plan. You know, it's not the document, it's the actual fact. When I say that, I'm working with, in my reality, by the time you actually project your sales through drivers like prices times unit or traffic and conversions, whatever that may be, your mind, if you're a normal human, your mind is thinking in the larger concepts that drive those things. So you are already planning. If you're just managing a sales forecast with plan versus actual, And soon you're going to find other metrics and other components of the plan, and it builds organically.
But it helps to have a framework or some sort of tool that keeps all of this stuff together and keeps you organized, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Like the empty outline and the key questions to ask and the basic numbers. Everybody's better off with understanding some of the, well, here's what it is, you know, metrics, milestones, personnel costs, fixed costs, revenue versus direct costs, cash flow is vital, and a sense of strategy. Those are really what drives a business anyhow. So you're collecting them in a planning process if you're managing the business right.
I want to get to the marketing aspect of a business plan here in a minute. But first, you deal with startups. You wrote a book on startups, 3 Weeks to Startup, I think was the title of that book.
Yeah.
I'm sure you counsel them on business plans. But in your experience in working with startups, people who have this dream about being a successful business, what do you think it is that surprises them the most once they get started and they start having to create this business plan? What surprises them the most?
You know, Jay, the activity, when I say breaking things down, breaking uncertainty down, when you pull apart the components of uncertainty, you run into a lot of surprises. I think one of the most common is the difference between profits and cash flow is absolutely vital to running a business and not intuitive at all. So people frequently don't realize how important is the lag between when they deliver the invoice and when they get paid. And the financial realities around buying inventory a month or two before you sell the thing and then getting paid for it 2 or 3 months after you sell it, those cash flow realities are probably the most frequent big surprise that you get from business planning.
Well, let's switch over a little bit to the marketing plan aspect of a business plan. How big of a component of a business plan do you recommend the marketing plan be?
You can't really have a business plan without including a marketing plan, because ultimately marketing, which I define as getting people to know, like, and trust you, which is not mine. That's from John Jantz from his book, Duct Tape Marketing. Marketing drives the business in the vast majority of cases. There are product-driven businesses where the product has so much demand that it pulls the rest of the company along with it, which is delightful. I've been in that case once in particular in my life, and that's wonderful, but it's rare. For the rest of us, business success is going to hang more on the real actual execution of marketing than on any other portion of the business plan except cash flow.
Do you see, Tim, businesses trying to get by without marketing, or maybe pay more attention to marketing rather than some of the other business aspects? I guess what I'm asking is there sometime in the entrepreneur's mind an imbalance between how marketing and regular business activities work together?
I love that question, because I think we are in the midst of a very significant landscape shift, change in the business landscape. Over the last few years, and it will continue over the next few years, because the vocabulary of marketing is adjusting to some new realities that the fundamentals are still there, but it's so much harder now if you get too lost. I mean, that sounds all blue sky and conceptual, but I mean, just think about how much of marketing 10, 20 years ago was basically advertising driven.
Right.
And there was, in managing advertising, the exercise of target market, media, message, and money, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And now we're in this new world in which advertising is in many ways threatened by Well, my friend Jim Blasingame has a book out called The Age of the Customer, which I like very much, and I refer to at times because he's putting out in this new world the idea that you no longer control your brand. Your customers control your brand. And while the fundamentals of marketing still hold, the actual flow of marketing and the tools and the way things work seems so much in flux these days that I find it delightful.
It is exciting. And if you look at not just the change in technology, but the change in the approach, the way we approach things now, rather than the way we used to, say, 20 years ago or even 12 years ago when I started my business, it's just tremendously different.
It's huge, yes.
And do you see it continuing that way? Do you think we're on this growth or this change pace that will continue here in the next several years?
You know, I watched a panel discussion 3 weeks ago. I'd have to go back to reconstruct where that was online and what the link was. But I watched a 60-minute panel discussion about technology and advertising. And what struck me, Jay, was the old world is peopled by managers who control budgets, whose vested interest is spending a lot of money in traditional marketing. And these people are at a real loss and definitely threatened in a good way by the fact that nowadays the mix is so different, where you used to buy your voice. So it was target market, media, message, and then delivery and money. Now that's all mixed up with so many voices that are earned and not bought.
Yeah, there is a different vernacular, vocabulary, and approach to marketing now than there used to be. Just the term of content marketing, the approaches, like you say, even content curation. But the whole approach, the toolbox, is much larger than it used to be. That's great. That's a blessing, as you said. But it's also, gosh, it can overwhelm a small business, can it not?
I got to say, yes, it can overwhelm a small business, but I can't help comparing it to when I was building in the early years of Palo Alto Software, where we looked at this huge mountainous budget requirement to have a voice, to get our word out to our potential users. And I compare that to now, where I see so many smart marketing efforts developing their position by curating and creating good content and define. I mean, boy, it's marketing plan driven as much as ever. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
If they don't clearly define their target market and their message and their media, they're doomed. But they execute not by just writing checks. They execute with content that drips out day by day in a way that changes the relationship between the message and the money. You can't just buy it anymore.
A lot of the capital nowadays is no longer money. It's elbow grease, and it's the time you invest in creating something that's original.
Yes, yes. And capital is a great word. There's a new kind of capital that's traction or buzz, credibility within this new world of marketing that I see clear as day. You can't easily buy that capital. You have to build it. And that is a world of new opportunity for smaller businesses. Lots and lots of niches and lots of companies, smaller companies, being successful because they're playing well in this new world.
What's your advice to small businesses, Tim? Because you've written a couple books, you've mentioned a couple books here, and most books are written with case studies that feature large businesses. Not all, but most are. What is it, or can we learn anything? Can small businesses really learn anything from big businesses? Because they're working with a different set of tools and capital, is to use our word of the moment there. What can we learn from big businesses, if anything, as a small business startup?
Boy, that's a tough one. I think for that, Jay, I would repeat some advice that was given to me 7 years ago now, almost to the day, when I stopped managing my company, and I was given the excellent advice of just start looking at what's going on in business blogging and Twitter and Facebook. And I asked, well, yeah, but what should I look for? And the answer was, don't worry about it. Just start spending some time looking at what's going on. And that excellent advice led me to the discovery, exactly as that person guessed. I found things were interesting, and you click and they get more interesting. And 7 years later, I'm immersed in this new world and convinced that for the small business, here's problem and opportunity at the same time. Unfortunately, it takes time. You don't just do it automatically. The trivial, superficial advice that goes around is, oh, well, every business owner should be blogging, every business owner should be in social media, ignores the fact that you're running a business. You don't have time to do that. So there's problem and opportunity, and that's a challenge that will lead to some people being successful and some people tripping over it and struggling with it over and over again. There's no right answer here.
Preach it, brother.
Yeah.
As we wrap up, Tim, here, I just want to get one more piece of advice from you here. You're a entrepreneur out there, and you're wanting to get started, if you don't have it already, on creating a business plan. What do you think are some of the first steps that you would recommend?
It depends on who you are. Some people will deal first with the conceptual, like strategy is focus, narrow down your target market, narrow down your business offering to match your target market, and then focus on the key elements of market and product as they come together. That's the conceptual person. For other people, do the damn sales forecast and identify the drivers and start doing plan versus actual. And as you see the benefits of plan versus actual analysis, then you'll start working more on planning process because you'll see how that works for you. Get started with it is my advice. Forget that old awful myth of, oh, the formal business plan that makes sweaty palms and reminds you of that teacher in high school that you hated and the term paper. No, it's your business. Enjoy it. Do just that part of it that helps you manage better. Do it just big enough and do it however you want that generates metrics and management and review and course correction. It's not that hard. If you're running a business plan is interesting and intriguing and helps you manage, or you're doing it wrong.
Awesome advice, Tim. What are some new projects you got cooking?
Oh, I've been really enjoying lately havepresence.com because I believe in what we're doing there. That's me and my oldest daughter, both of us in love with social media and the way social media can help business. So that's my project that puts a smile on my face these days. And I'm always using LivePlan. I'm doing 7 different business plans now as a mentor and helper of people with LivePlan. And for that, that's liveplan.com.
All right, Tim. Hey, thanks for sharing your knowledge and your expertise with us today.
Thank you, Jay. It's a delight to talk to you.
My business resource of the week is the Generation Media Explorer from AWeber, the email marketing service provider for small businesses. This is a nifty little interactive website that lets you discover the digital habits of millennials, and that's the generation born between 1982 and 2001. And the website lets you segment by age, gender, geographic region, and mobile phone usage. For example, males 18 plus who live in the South and got their first cell phone after age 18, they spend more time watching TV than they do hanging out with their friends. This helps you understand the demographic better so that you can market to them better. It's at genmediaexplorer.com, but I'll also post a link in the chapter notes at marketingplanpodcast.com. Chapter 1. And so if you want to get started with a business plan, I have a coupon code for you for liveplan.com. That's the website Tim and I talked about during our discussion, part of bplans.com and Palo Alto Software. So this coupon code for liveplan.com will give you your first month free to create your business plan online. I'm currently using the tool, and I actually paid for it because I signed up before this coupon code. So I encourage you to try it out. The coupon code is listed in the chapter notes at marketingplanpodcast.com under Chapter 1 Notes. And it's good for one free month at liveplan.com. There are two things that Tim Berry said that really shouted out to me. And they were, one, you can't really have a business plan without including a marketing plan. And two, business success is going to hang more on the real, actual execution of marketing than in any other portion of the business plan except cash flow. It's cash flow first, marketing second. I invite you to watch a little video I've provided for you that will help nudge you in the direction of creating your own plan, to follow George Bernard Shaw's advice to create your own circumstances. It's a simple way of understanding how marketing works within the framework of a marketing plan, and you can see that video at marketingplanpodcast.com, then click on Getting Started. And then next week, Chapter 2 on our journey down the path of transforming your business into the brand you've always dreamed it could be. I'm Jay Arrett, and together, let's get to point C, the business you've always dreamed you could be.
All the stuff we just talked about, it's on the web at marketingplanpodcast.com.